So today I want us to begin this year with becoming the church God imagined. I don't know what that stirs up in your thoughts as to what that looks like in your mind, but what does becoming the church God imagined, what impact does that have on us as the church and therefore on us as individuals who are part of the gathered community, the church as well? Now, each year here at NBC, certainly for the time that I've been here, we've always highlighted a particular text that we want to carry with us through that year. And that will take us into our new year, give us a little bit of focus, a little bit of shape, and maybe guide our thinking as we move forward together as well to what God has in plan. Now, last year in 2025, this was our text for the year, which was from 2 Peter chapter 3:18, which said, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." This sense that God wanted to grow us as individuals and as a church in our understanding of His goodness towards us, His grace, but also in our knowledge of Him, not only head knowledge, but experience knowledge of what we experience about Him in our lives as well. And I've been delighted through this year to hear stories of people who feel they've grown this year. They've experienced growth in their grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I've had stories from people who have encountered Jesus for the first time and have experienced His grace, who have come to that place of forgiveness and freedom and beginning this new journey towards following Him as well. I've had conversations with people who have found a new confidence in their faith during 2025 as well. And also with people who have been seeking to align their lives very much to the will and the purpose of Jesus as well, to be part and keep in step with what He longs for them to do. And of course, growing is part of our DNA, isn't it? You don't have to be a doctor to know that our lives are meant to grow. We see babies growing, and some of you have had children last year. They have obviously grown and not stopping. If you've got teenagers, I'm not sure whether your teenagers have stopped growing yet, but you've probably seen them grow in the last 12 months as well. But the good news is at some point we stop growing upwards, and our height is set. Probably around 18 to 20 years old, we tend to stop growing upwards. In my simplicity of understanding medical knowledge, that is Dr. Google, I am told that the soft cartilage stops growing, and so the bones stop growing. They have a fixed height, a fixed length. And so our height is set until we get a little bit older. Now, if you don't know this, if you're under 40 here this morning, at around the age of 40, you start losing height. Have you noticed that, those of you who are over 40? Have you noticed you're losing height now? It becomes more noticeable once you get over 70. Some of us, yep, not far away. Due to spinal disc compression, I'm told, cartilage wear, and even the joy of osteoporosis as well. There is so much to look forward to as you get older. Some of you can't wait now to become that age so you can experience all those wonderful, wonderful things. And I'm told that most people lose about half an inch a decade once they get over 40. There's an air of, is that good? Is that bad? And so by the time you get to old age, you may have lost between 1 and 3 inches of your height. If you didn't know that before, welcome to Newcastle Baptist Church and the good news that we share every single week in this place. Now, I want to prove this during the year, okay? So after the service, I'm going to ask all of you to be measured for your height. And then at the last service of 2026, we'll measure you again. And we'll be able to tell whether you've grown because you're still young, whether you've stopped, or whether you indeed have shrunk. So make sure you come back at the end of the year, won't you, to enjoy that as well. Now, I know that's the bad news, and probably it's good to get rid of the bad news early on, isn't it? But there is also good news that I want to share with you this morning. That this gradual shortening of our height can be slowed down. That's good news, isn't it? If we have good posture, some of you need to sit up a little bit more now. Come on, sit up. Those of you who are under 40, start sitting up because this could really matter when you get older. Good posture, exercise, and a calcium vitamin D rich diet. Is that okay? See the good news I share with you today among the bad. Isn't it good that we can do something about it, you see? It may not stop a little bit of shortening, but we can do something about it. This is not only good news for our physical bodies, but this is good news for our souls as well today. And that's really what I'm here to talk about. Our spirits, our spiritual life. The eagerness and the adventure that some of us had when we first started following Jesus does not have to shrink. It doesn't have to get smaller. It doesn't have to get slower and less confident or less adventurous. Our souls do not have to shrink in size. In fact, I believe that they can grow bigger and stronger and more fruitful year on year. If we have a good posture towards the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we undertake good spiritual exercise through our worship, prayer, reading the Bible, and we have a rich diet of connection to Jesus and other followers, then that is going to help us to grow this year as well as last year. Because we are built to grow. We're built to become more than we are right now in terms of our relationship with Jesus, in terms of our experience of him, and in terms of how we serve him and honor him every single day of our lives. We can become the people that God always imagined we could be. Your parents would have had high hopes for you when you were born. Whether they're disappointed or not is up to you and them. But Jesus had high hopes of you when you started following him. And I don't want to disappoint him by not becoming the sort of person that he imagines I could be. Or we could become the church that he imagines we could be during this year. Now, during the last part of 2025, we've spent a little bit of time seeking to discern God's call to MBC for 2026. We had a bit of time as a church where we had the board here. We were asking the questions, what is the Holy Spirit saying to the church? And numbers of you wrote down what you felt the Spirit was saying to the church. We looked around to see what God was doing, and we discerned what we saw God was doing in the church during that particular year. And then with the help of Neil, sat over here, some of you know Neil, the deacons had a day away where we spent time talking and discerning some key words about what God was doing and how we would respond to what we saw him doing. And these were the three things that we discerned he was doing. That God was shaking us up, that God was bringing new people into our congregation, into our family, and God was inspiring us to love. And then we took some time to listen, to hear how God was asking us to respond to what it was we saw him doing last year. And so our text for 26 is the basis of our response to that in this coming year. So, we're going to read the passage because it's not a text this year. It's a whole passage this year. So I thought we'd read it together. Then we'll sing again, if that's okay. And then we'll move into what I believe God is leading us to. So I think we should stand to read scripture today. So if you would like to stand, you know, when I was a kid in Sunday school, we always stood to read the Bible. And I come from the Salvation Army. I mean, goodness me, that was weird, wasn't it? But, you know, it was a good discipline to say, you know, this is important. And so maybe today, this passage, which I believe is going to guide us through 2026, let's read it together, and then we're going to sing the song which says, "Faithful One, so unchanging." So let's read, and then we'll sing. Let's read together. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up
until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
So, what are we going to bring out of that particular passage for our lives during 2026? And when I talk about our lives, I don't just mean our life together as a church. I mean for us each as individuals. Because I believe that this passage can guide us each, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, every single day as well. And it may be something you want to embrace as an individual during 2026 as well as us as the church bringing this to our attention. So obviously less a text this year, more of a passage, but one I believe does contain what God is asking us in 2026 and what it is that we've discerned that He will want us to do. Both, as I say, as scattered individuals following Jesus on our front lines every single day, but also as the gathered people of God as we seek to build His kingdom and as we reach out into our community so that people begin to see what following Jesus looks like and become part of that particular journey as well. Now, when Paul writes this passage to the Ephesians, I think it's quite clear for us to see that his vision for the church is not just survival or maintenance. And I was so encouraged last year, as I guess many of you were, by the research from the Bible Society, the Quiet Revival, which looked at the state of the UK church and to find that there is life in the UK church as a whole. Probably the first time that this has been seen for many years, I would say decades, where we begin to see growth beginning to happen rather than decline in the UK church. Some of you come from cultures where you're used to seeing growth, where Christianity is very much part of the whole of society. But in the UK, that hasn't been the case over decades, really, that many of us have lived through. And so I believe there's a wave of what God is doing and how He's going to do it that it's important that we notice and that we become part of as well, that we don't miss this opportunity of what God is doing at this particular time. And so if you've recently come to our church, you've come at a great time. This is a great time to become part of a church community and to begin to explore Christian faith in your own life as well. But this is what growth into Christ's likeness can look. And I think this is what Paul is laying out for the church in Ephesus and for us this year as well. That even if our bodies are shrinking, that our souls can grow. They've become more dynamic than they've ever been in our lives. That no matter how many years you've been a follower of Jesus, this can be the best year that you've ever had as a follower of Jesus. The adventures that He wants to take you on, your confidence with the gospel, to reach out and tell people about it. I think this could be the best year for many of us as we trust God and believe His promises for each of our lives as well. Not just believing more, but becoming more as well. Because I think we're called to become the people that God longs for us to be, the church that God imagined us to be, the people, the person God imagined us to be. And Paul tells us what the goal of growth is. If you've got your Bibles or switch on the app, I think it's really good to dig into this passage, and you might want to do that during the week as well. In Ephesians 4:13, he says, until we all, see, this is a corporate thing. This is about us together. Each of us has a responsibility for the other person, the person next to us, the person across the aisle from us, the person we haven't said hello to yet. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all become part of that particular journey, our responsibility towards one another as well. We become mature. It's the last thing you want to be is mature, isn't it? But we can become mature in how we follow Jesus, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a scary line, isn't it? attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. But it's also such a powerful line for us to take hold of. That Paul is saying this is possible for us. It's possible for us every day to grow, to become mature, to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And when we're on this growth spurt, we will no longer be infants tossed everywhere by every thought, every fad, every craze, every lifestyle option we're presented with, every click of the button, every idea. Instead of that, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We will grow up. We won't only grow, we will grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. This growing Christ-likeness in our thinking, in our living, in our trusting, in our relationships, this growing experience. So how are we going to do that? Well, three themes begin to emerge from what we were thinking about for 2026. Three challenges, three goals that I pray will inspire us and that will help us all grow to be like Jesus, to become mature, to attain the full measure of Jesus. I pray that this will be, as we're on this journey towards that goal, that this year will see us growing in that journey as well. And so at the end of 2026, as well as checking how tall you are, I'd love to see that you've grown in your spirit as well. And we'll check that. I don't know how we'll check it, but you'll check it and you'll know whether you have grown and whether you have become mature, whether you have continued this journey to attain the fullness of Jesus. And we as a church will be able to see if that's happened as well. See, this is the beauty of what the call of a follower of Jesus is that every single day, wherever you are, you can you can grow and you can share that growth with others as well. In your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, your school, your college, your university, where you volunteer, who you care for, your marriage, your parenting, your grandparenting, your friendships, your finances, everything, everywhere, all things, nothing is outside the scope of where this growth can happen. And when you grow, you'll look more like Jesus. And the people you are with every single day will see the difference in you. They will see the difference in your attitude. They'll see the difference how you work, how you care, the sort of attitude you bring to the workplace, to your family. They'll see how your marriage is flourishing, your friendships grow, that you're loyal, all those things. And when they see that, it will have to provoke the question, why do you live that way? How do you live that way? And what an opportunity it will give us to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. What an opportunity when we are growing into Christ-likeness, where we're becoming mature, when all things are part of this journey. It will have to provoke some questions, and we will have an opportunity to explain why we live as we do. The whole of life is an opportunity to grow, and I guess that's why it's called life, really. And your life, my life, can impact other people's lives as well. At the beginning of that passage, Jesus gave gifts so that we're prepared for works of service. And those works happen whatever you do, whoever you're with, and wherever you are. So, how? Three things from this passage that will set the direction in 2026, as easy as ABC. Activate faith, build community, and cultivate generosity. At the end of 2026, faith will be alive and shared with others. Community will be built and growing. Generosity will be flourishing. And people will notice that something is happening and something is different. The pastor teacher, Eugene Peterson, says the offer of Jesus is life, life, and more life. The management guru, Stephen Covey, says we live with the end in mind. This is where we're going. When we looked at Abraham last week, he set out for a new land and he arrived there because he was trusting the one who called him. And so we too on this journey, will we trust the one who calls us to follow him, to become the people that he's asked us to be. Now, I hope you'll remember these during the year. We've got a little card for you, but I wrote a song. I'm not going to sing it now. Nobody was excited about the song I sung, so. Ah, dear. Do you want to hear my song? Yeah. So it goes like this. We've got to activate faith, build community, cultivate generosity. That's it. That's it. That's as far as I got. For some reason, I've got to say community, you know? Now, those who are posh, you can say build community if you want. I say gonna, but you can say going to if you want to as well. But you know what? I've had this song in my head for weeks. I'm hoping you'll have this song in your head for weeks, okay? I hope tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll have this song in your head. I hope you won't be able to go to sleep tonight because this song is in your head. Do you want to practice it with me? Yeah. We're going to activate faith, build community, cultivate generosity. We're going to activate faith, build community, cultivate generosity. Is that okay? Yeah, I think that's okay, isn't it? So not only do we have a text for 26, we actually have a song for 26 now as well, and I've never done that before, so be blessed with my offering to you today. Anyway, I'll leave that to the musicians to put it to a great melody, and we can learn it and see where we go and write some songs. Anyway, you got it now? You got it now? So let's briefly talk about the three of them. We're going to look at these in more detail over the next 6 weeks. Actually, we're going to look at them through the life of Abraham. So, yeah, it's a bit of a surprise to me as well, but we're going to look at these three things through the life of Abraham, and I hope you'll join us on that journey as we explore these in a bit more detail. Let me just set the scene a little bit today before we finish. So activate faith, what does that mean? Well, I think it means Christ Jesus activates faith by releasing people into purpose. Releasing people into purpose. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4 says, He gave. He gave. Everything begins with the generosity of Jesus. Everything about our lives begins because He has given to us. And so that's the starting point. And He equips us to be the people He calls us to be. He equips us to be the people He imagines we can be if we will receive them and use them for His honor and for His glory. A story to tell and a purpose to fulfill. But we have to activate it. That's why I wanted that word to be there. To activate faith. See, this could be an action song quite easily, couldn't it? Yeah? And I'll leave you to work out the actions that you want for that. I haven't got any, by the way, okay? I thought that'd be a bit too cheesy for today, but I'm sure we can. This has got to be activated. Now, whenever you buy a piece of new technology, or you get a new bank card or anything, what's the first thing you've got to do? You've got to activate it, haven't you? If you don't activate it, it's useless. It doesn't work. It lies dormant. It never reaches its full potential. It can't be what it is designed to be. He gave to equip us all so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, where everyone is activated, energized, and engaged in this faith journey. Now, the Greek word used for equip in the Bible text, outside of Scripture, it means to set a bone. It means to put something back that was broken. It means to fit out a ship in a new way. It means to supply an army. So when Paul uses this word that is translated for us as equip, he's talking about something new happening and something that was broken getting mended and something that was weak becoming strong again. Imagine being supplied by like an army as the people of God. And this underlines the notion of restoring something to its proper condition and making it fully functional. When we activate faith, then we become fully functional people of Jesus. Now, in the first century Mediterranean world, when they saw this image of equip, they would think of it as being competence or readiness or strength. And I think that's exactly what Paul wanted for the church in Ephesus, and I think that's what the sort of church God imagines us to be as well. This activated faith, putting it into practice, doing something with it, helping it to become everything that God imagined it could be, with purpose and responsibility and the resources needed to accomplish the mission until He comes again. sharing stories of faith, standing up and being counted when our faith is under pressure, speaking up for those who are on the margins, engaging with confidence in the lives of others who are looking for purpose in their lives as well. Paul makes it clear, God has given us everything we need to do what he requires to become the person and the people that he imagines we can be. Because Christianity is never meant to be a spectator sport. Every believer is called and gifted and needed to be out there, activating their faith, making the difference, changing our workplaces, our families, our neighborhoods, our society, so that it becomes a place where God is honored again. So, in 2026, would you ask yourself these three things? Where is God inviting me to step out to serve or risk obedience this year? What gift has God placed in me that I have been sitting on for far too long? How can I help someone begin their own journey of faith and help them attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Activate faith and let's see what God is inviting us to do. Let's take a moment. Let's just reflect on those three things before we move on to the next one. My prayer is that we as a church and one another, we will help each other move into those areas and explore and discover those things. Imagine a church where active faith is expressed every day through the people of God scattered around our communities. Imagine a church like that. Secondly, I should have tested you before I put it on. Activate faith, build community. Faith grows on the foundation of loving relationships. Community, what we're called to be as the people of God together as well. This Greek word koinonia, translated fellowship, community. We see it in the Old Testament, anticipated through Israel's covenant with God, with Yahweh, shared meals, the fellowship of pilgrimage, the joy of pilgrimage feasts as well. It's all there. And these practices go into the New Testament through Jesus, who gathers people around a table, who walks with people, who teaches people, who serves others together as well. Build community. This is the heart of the Christian faith. This is the heart of any church that God imagines for it. It's the central call of Jesus when we follow him, is to be part of community as well. And I want us to build that so that when we are scattered every single day of the week other than Sundays, then I know I'm not alone. I know that I've got people standing with me, praying for me, supporting me, encouraging me. Because isolation calls faith, whereas community fuels faith into something even more. So we build community in order that our faith becomes even stronger as well. Paul tells us that on our own, we will not grow. On our own, we will be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there, he says. A faith not activated and a life not connected to others leaves us vulnerable to deception and instability, he says. So I wonder if this year we would be a church that builds community, connection, that's supporting one another, every ligament joined together, the body flourishing for all that God has in store for us as well. As we activate faith, we too build community and grow in there as well. Let me ask you these things about building community. How is God asking me to connect with other followers of Jesus? Will I have honest, truthful, loving conversations that build up and generate understanding and trust? How will I step across barriers that separate us? Just take a moment just to reflect on those personally right now. Imagine a church known not for its programs, but known for its depth of relationships, where people feel safe to grow, to fail, to heal, and to rise again, where people are welcome, where we make room around the table, where people can belong. We build community in order to fulfill that dream that God has of the church that he imagines us to be. And so finally, C, cultivate generosity. A growing church is a generous church, not just with money, but with our lives as well. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, 16, that each part does its work. Each part has a part to play. No passive parts. Each part does its work. Growth happens when giving replaces withholding. And love is the motivation and the outcome for living a life like this. See, the measure of spiritual maturity is not how much we receive, but it is how much we freely are prepared to give. And this is not just money. This is about who we are. This is about everything we have. It's about our time. It's about the gifts that God has given us. It's about giving, cultivating generosity that helps us to offer rather than just be receivers. People who are part of something, not just passive spectators in it. I'm not a consumer. I'm a contributor. I'm adding to this body. I've got a part to play. I can connect. I can be part of something that God is doing. And so here's my three questions to you today. What will my generosity of time, service, and resources look like? Who will be strengthened because I am here? How can I offer what I have so that the kingdom of God grows? So imagine a church where people don't just ask, how can I grow, but also, how can I help others grow? A posture of open hands towards God. And so it's as simple as ABC, really. As simple as that. Paul's vision is not about accidental growth. It's not just seeing it and joining in. It's about intentional transformation. Active faith, where we step into God's your God-given purpose. Build community, we grow with others in truth and love. Cultivate generosity, we give ourselves for the building up of the body. So I wonder how big you can grow this year. How big can you grow? What is your spiritual capacity? How large is your spiritual capability? What is the measure of the fullness of Christ, the potential in your life this year? And so as we step into this year, I invite you to commit yourself to this call that God has placed upon our hearts today. Not just to believing, but to becoming. A church that sees faith as something to live out, not just simply to hold on to and deposit. Not just attending church, but being the church. A church marked by the depth and spiritual resilience of a growing community. And not just for a moment, but for a season of faithful obedience. A church that is known for its generosity, for its faithfulness, and its love in action. That, I believe, is the invitation of Jesus to build on him and to receive the life he offers to each one of us. We are the church. We're proud of being the church, the called people of Jesus, part of the body. And so I pray that we may cultivate and build and activate all that he's given us and see the impact in all the lives of the people we serve this year in Jesus' name. May the work of the Holy Spirit continue to shape you and mold you into the person that he imagines, and may that be true for us as a church as we continue to take on his shape and respond to his call. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song that sets out the foundation of it all for us. Can I invite you to stand again, please, as we come towards the conclusion of our time here. This is my prayer. Lord, build us together. Form us into the likeness of Christ. Make us a church that grows strong in faith, deep in community, and rich in generosity. For your glory and for the sake of the world, we pray this prayer. Amen.